And that's been around for a while in the truth of God. And I thank you.
Trusting only in thy merit, would I see thy face, heal my wounded, broken spirit, save me by thy grace, Savior,
God has blessed us today, and thank God that He's been with us, and that He is. His Spirit has been with us, that He has lifted us up, He has given us. Blessings that we only come from Him, that He has given us riches that we can't find anywhere else, and ask if He... if He will, that He would continue to bless us and continue to lift us up what little time we're here together. Brother Stanley reminded me of something, I was looking at it. I looked at my phone too, Brother Stanley. It's okay. I can't remember where anything is. And so I looked scriptures up on my phone because I think of something and I turn where I think it is and it's not there. And then I say, oh, you know, I know where it is, and I turn there, and it's not there either. So if I didn't have my phone or the concordance to look them up, I couldn't find anything in the Bible. Brother Stanley reminded me of when he was talking about the account of the Apostle Peter and John when they healed the man, when the power of God healed the man that was lame from his mother's womb, and it was above 40 years. The man that was lame, the scriptures say that he was carried. I mean, he didn't just have a limp. He was in such a situation that he was carried and laid there at the gate. It was over 40 years that he had done this. But I want to read a little bit from the chapter after that. But I will say that I'm concerned about God's children today. I don't have any illusions that the old Baptists are all of God's children. If that were the case, that would be pitiful. Because we are few in number. You know, we would be like Elijah when he was up in the cave and he was lamenting the fact that the Jews of the time had digged down the altars of God, and they had killed the priest, and they had killed the prophets, and he was the only one left. God, out of the storm, said that He had reserved to Him 7,000 that had not bowed the knee to Baal. But I'm concerned for the children of God because many labor under false apprehensions and false doctrines. They labor under things, and many of us have as well from time to time labored under false doctrines which we've heard and which make sense to the flesh, which please the flesh, which please these carnal minds. The answers, if God would bless us, are right here. The answers to all of these false doctrines are right here. I don't like to read instructions, and I don't like to read instructions very close. Yeah, I was reminded of that. Kimberly had us putting together some furniture. And we put together the furniture, and then I sat down, and I've got two bookcases in the living room that I put together, and I didn't read the instructions very good. I put one together, and I put the other together, and I looked at the one right in front of me, and it's got six shelves on it, and one of the shelves was upside down. I put it upside down, and so I said, fine. I tried to ease that shelf out by itself and to flip it over, and I got it almost all the way out, turned it around, and was sliding it back in. The whole thing fell apart. So I had to put it back together. And so five, I got it back together. All the shelves are the right way. And I sat down and I was pleased with myself. I was patting myself on the back, looked at the other one. And there are two shelves upside down. They're still upside down because I ain't taking them apart. But I looked in the instructions and there is a big, the twice as big letters as every other instruction at that step that says, make sure you insert the shelves by side up. And I didn't read it. I might have seen it. I didn't pay any attention to it. But the instructions are right there to see. I want to read a little bit of the fourth chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. This is the chapter after the account that Brother Stan was talking about, where Peter and John, when they saw the man that was lame there, laid at the beautiful gate, and he thought they were going to give him, they were going to give him some money. And Peter and John patted their pockets and said, brother, we don't have anything. Silver and gold have I none. And they said, such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he immediately received strength. And he not only got up and rose up and walked, but he went with them in the temple, leaping, shouting for joy. And all of the people there that saw this miracle, and they saw this man that they had seen for 40 years outside the gate, begging day by day. And they came upon Peter and John as if these were the people that did this miracle. And Peter said, well, why do you stand here gazing at us like we had anything to do with this? Now, the one that did it was the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that you crucified. And His name, he says, through faith in His name, has made this man strong, right? And the faith which is by Him, that is by Christ,
yes,
have given him this perfect soundness. You know, I often talk about that, and I probably talk about it too much, but too bad. We were singing the song, I Always Try. If I remember it, there's a part of a verse in the next to last hymn we sing. I love that hymn. There's a part of a verse in it that's backwards. It says, I have put my faith in Thee, dear Lord, that I may reach the golden strand. That's backwards. And I try to say, You have put Your faith in me, dear Lord, that I may reach the golden strand. Because it is the faith not in Christ. We don't put our faith in Christ. It is the faith of Christ that has made us whole. The faith of Christ that has saved us from our sins. And Peter says, look, you're looking at us as if we did anything for this man. But it is Jesus and His name through faith in His, and through faith, through believing in His name, that has made this man strong. And then in the fourth chapter, in the fifth verse, I want to read this. It's a little bit of a lengthy passage, but I want to read it for you. In the fourth chapter, in the fifth verse, it came to pass in on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by Him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred amongst themselves, saying, what shall we do to these two men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in His name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than God, judge ye. for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. I was looking, went over to my Bible application on my phone, and I was looking at this passage. And there's a thing that's on the bottom of this application. I love it. It is absolutely fantastic. I know how to work it. I can find things in it. The problem is there's this little thing on the bottom where it's got the Bible, the scripture up top, and on the bottom it's got Matthew Henry's commentary. And I can't get it off. It will not. I can minimize it. The next time I open it up, it's back up. I've tried to figure out how to erase the thing. I can't figure it out. But sometimes I like to flip through it just to see what's in this Matthew Henry's commentary. You know what they said about this about the 11th verse, no, 12th verse. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Matthew Henry, in his commentary, would have you believe that the name of Jesus is all is given down through the ages, and that is all that men can appeal to avert the wrath that's to come and everlasting damnation. And I read that and I said, you know, that's the reason why I would like to just erase this little thing off the bottom. Because many of our brothers and sisters in the world believe that. Many of our brothers and sisters in the world believe that calling on the name of Jesus is what saves us from the everlasting damnation, which we deserve justly because we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, there is a salvation. The Apostle Peter here says, remember this, you men and elders of Israel, you rulers of the people, if you're going to ask us today by what manner, of what power, by what name this man was healed, let it be known that it is in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that this man, this impotent man, has risen up and walked. This same one, this same Jesus, is the stone that you builders have set at naught, which has now become the head of the corner. And he says there is no other salvation in any. Now there are people that today think there are many ways to heaven. I understand that there's only one. I understand that there's one who says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. There is one who has saved us from our sins. There is one. And you've heard Him preach yesterday, and you hear Him preach today. You'll hear Him preach, if God wills, tomorrow, and every day His name will be proclaimed. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the only way. And the apostle says, look, there is no salvation in any other. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I have a lot of friends that are of different denominations. And we don't fuss. We don't argue. We discuss. And sometimes we discuss at length some of these things. I have a very dear friend who I just went to visit down in Virginia Beach, and he was Southern Baptist. He converted to Catholicism because his wife said, you need to be a Catholic before we get married. And so he did that, but he's still a Southern Baptist, and I love him. He is absolutely a child of God, and I can tell you I know that for certain because I am told that wherever... Right. What I am told is that wherever the fruits are, by the fruits you're going to know them. I can't tell... I told you this before. I'm terrible at telling different plants and different trees. I read about this giant hogweed. Have you heard about it? If you touch it and then you get sunlight on, you'll get burned. And I am scared to death now because I have no idea. I've looked at it online. I've seen pictures of it. And if there was one right out in the middle of the road, I couldn't tell you. It looks like everything else to me. My dad could walk out in the woods and he'd say, oh, that's a hickory and that's a maple and that's a this and that and the other thing. And sometimes I think he was making half the names of those trees up. I don't know. But I will tell you, the only way that I know a tree, I know if it's got acorns on it, it's an oak tree. I know if it's got apples on it, it's an apple tree. If it's got peaches, we had a tree, we bought an orchard when I was about 12 years old, and I was absolutely certain that tree was a plum tree, and I like plums. I will eat red plums until I'm sick. And I waited and waited and waited for that thing to have plums, and it was a peach tree. I was so disappointed. And I so wanted to have a plum tree because that's my favorite fruit, hands down. But I can tell you, If there's plums on the tree, then it's a plum tree. I can tell you if there's apples on the tree, it's an apple tree. And I can tell you if the fruit of the Spirit is there in a child of God, that he is or she is a child of God indeed. But many of God's children to this day, many of God's children have been taken by false doctrines, the doctrines that seem right to this mind, the doctrines of the world, which include man and say, you've got a role, you've got a little bit to do. Those doctrines which tell us that we've got a part in our eternal life, no matter how small. Now, it is pleasing to this old flesh to hear that. It's pleasing to this old flesh to hear that we have a little power. Right? We've got a little thing to do. God has worked His work. Jesus has come and died on the cross. But there's still something for me to do. There's still something that I can do. And that pleases this old flesh, because this old flesh wants to exalt itself. It wants to puff itself up. It even would like to puff itself up above everything that is called God. So when you hear a doctrine like that, that there is something left for you to do to earn your eternal life, it's pleasing to this old flesh. But it's rotten to the spirit which is in the child of God. Because what we understand is if it's not in Christ, there is no salvation. And there is no salvation in any other but the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we understand is that we have been saved. We have been set apart. As you've heard here, we have been a chosen people in Christ before the world was even formed. It took Jesus. It did take Jesus. Brother Stan, I'm glad he said that. It took the Lord Jesus coming here and dying. I had a debating with a friend. He said, well, I don't understand. If God is all powerful, why He couldn't just forgive us without the sacrifice of His Son? Because it seemed good in His sight. Because His wrath had to be appeased. Because there was a vessel that wrath had to be poured out on. But what the Apostle Peter is telling, and he's saying this in the context of a man that has been physically healed, a man that has been for more than 40 years lame and carried every day and laid at the gate of the temple, a man who has every day had to beg, and now by the power that is in that, do you believe that there is power in the name of Jesus? And if you don't, let me tell you, you are missing out. You're not going to miss out on eternal life. Brother Stan's already told you that there's nothing that you can do to remove yourself from the love of Christ. But if you don't think there's any power in the name of Jesus, you're missing out right here. The Apostle Peter said, you want to know why this man is healed? It is by the name of Jesus and faith in His name. And he said, there is none other name under heaven that is given by which we must be saved. Sometimes I think, and I'm talking about myself here, I'll say we, but I'm talking about myself here. Sometimes I think, I don't believe God. Not in God. But sometimes I think I act like I don't believe. I never say out loud that I don't believe God. But you see the way I act, and you would question, do you believe God?
Trust Him.
Every time, and I know I say this a lot, but I marvel at it every time I read it. The account of the apostles when they're on the ship, and Jesus has gone down to the lower parts of the ship, and He's asleep. And there's a good storm that has blown up, and the waves and the wind are about to capsize the ship, and the apostles have no idea what they're going to do, and they're running around, wringing their hands, and they go down to Jesus, and they wake Him up and said, don't you care that we perish? And Jesus said, oh, you little faith. And He walked up to the deck, and He talked to the wind, and He talked to the waves, and He said, peace, be still. And the waves just calm. The wind stopped blowing. And the apostles looked at each other and said, what manner of man is this? That even the wind and the waves obey Him. Well, what were you looking for? Why did you go down there below decks and wake Him up if you didn't think He had any power? Right? We have seen the miracles of God. The apostles saw the miracles of God over and over and over again. Yet every time that God worked through Christ or one of His other apostles, a miracle, everyone said, whoa, what's going on here? Well, who were you looking for? Who were you looking for? Were you looking for some man? Were you looking for Brother Gary? Were you looking for Brother John or Brother Barney? Was that what you were looking for when you went down there? Because if that's what you were looking for, there is no help in the capacities or the strength of man. But there is power in the name of Jesus. Now, what will happen if you call on His name? My friend Mike... And I keep telling him this, and he keeps saying, "Well, we'll see." He says, "Have you called on the name of Jesus?" "Yes." "Well, have you asked Him to be your Savior?" "No, I haven't." "I have asked Him to save me." "I have. I've asked Him to save me many times. I asked Him to save me from all sorts of... I asked Him to save me from stuff that I think is silly, but I know it's not, because He cares for us. Not in the big things only, but also the little things. I asked the Lord to save me. But I don't ask Him to be my Savior, because He already is. It's like asking my parents to be my mom and dad. I didn't have anything to do with that. They're going to be my parents now forever. The Lord is my Savior, and He is has always, for me, been my Savior, and He always will. So what does calling on the name of Jesus do for me? If it doesn't buy me or earn me eternal life, what does it do? It saves me right here. Oh, you better believe it does. It saves me. Not only, and I emphasize this because it is true, it saves me here all the time. It saves me right here all the time. It saves me when I'm thinking about the Lord. I can't think of anything else. I can't think of all of the sin and misery out here. If I have my mind fixed on heaven and heavenly things, I don't have any more capacity. Right? You say, "Well, that's just because you're simple-minded." Be that as it may, yeah. And that's another blessing, that I can't hold that many things in mind. But when I set my mind on heaven and heavenly things, all the things of this world just... I got a hard head anyway, but they just bounce off. But and I say that, and I emphasize that there is a salvation, there is a saving in setting your mind on heaven and heavenly things. But if that's all that we're dependent on Jesus for, Peter said, "Why are you looking at me? Why are you looking at us like we did anything to this man? Why are you looking at us like we, of our own power, worked this miracle, healed this man and gave him strength? It is the name of Jesus and faith in His name that has made this man strong. It is the faith of Jesus that has given him strength. And the Lord has told us that He would never leave us and never forsake us. So I will tell you this day that there is a power in the name of the Lord Jesus, not only to set our mind on heaven and heavenly things and transport it from the rudiments of the world, but to work miracles like the one that you see here. We don't believe it anymore. We don't believe in these sorts of miracles. I don't know why, because we see them all the time, but we don't believe. We depend on ourselves. We're like those apostles that went down below decks and woke Jesus up and said, "Don't you, Master, don't you care that we perish?" And then when He worked His miracles, when He worked the miracle, when He calmed the waves and calmed the sea, we look at each other and we say, "What manner of man is this?" Well, he tells us time and time again what manner of man He is. There is no other salvation than in the Lord Jesus. And there is power in His name. There is the power of God in the name of Jesus, not only to heal us here, but to work miracles such as we would long to see. We call on the name of Jesus for lots of stuff. The problem that we have is the problem that we have is twofold. Number one, we're impatient. We ask the Lord and then look at our watch. Where is it? That's what Abram did. That's what he did. The Lord came to Sarah and said, "I'm going to give you a child. I'm going to give you the child of the promise. He's going to is going to be a great nation. And this seed is going to be a great nation. More than the stars of the sky or the sands of the sea." And they said, "All right, well, that's all right." And when it didn't happen in a day, and when it didn't happen in a month, and when it didn't happen in a year, they said, "Well, maybe the Lord needs help." The Lord doesn't need help. We need help. But we're too impatient when we call upon the Lord. The other thing that I think we have is not just our impatience, but it is at our core just unbelief. It is just unbelief that the Lord will do things like this. And I don't know why we would have this unbelief. You know what the Spirit said to one of the churches? Remind them again, right? What did He say to the disciples of John? Go tell John again. I remember a time in my life, and it's been now 24 years, 23 years ago, that I believed I could walk on water just like the Apostle Peter. I did. You know why? Because I had just had an encounter of grace. I had just been sitting there, and it was like a light switch was flipped. And I went from planning on what I was going to do that weekend with my friends, how what sort of trouble I could get to looking at a phone book, trying to find the phone number of our pastor to see what I could do to be baptized. And at that time, well, I could walk on water. I could. I felt like I could walk on water. And the answer is, if I had my Lord with me, I can.
Sure.
The account of Peter walking on water is one that... misquote. I often say that Peter, when he took his eyes off Jesus, that's when he started to sink. It wasn't when he took his eyes off Jesus, it's when he started looking at the waves all around him that he started to sink. Sometimes I look at the things in my life and I say, well, what can I do? I depend on myself first and foremost. What can I do? What can I do for this? But what Peter says is there's power in the name of the Lord Jesus. There is power in His name. There is healing in the name of the Lord Jesus. Not just a mental or spiritual healing, but a healing for these old bodies. But sometimes when the Lord answers our prayers, sometimes the answer to those prayers is no. My youngest boy, Judah, is... He likes to go downstairs and play video games. And he'll do that before anybody's up. You'll hear something, you think it's somebody breaking in the house, and he's down there watching TV or playing a video game. So I told him that he had to, before he could play his video games, he had to read a book to his mother. Because you're playing games all day, so let's read a little bit. And he came in this morning, it sounded like a bulldozer was running against our bedroom door, and it finally burst open, and there he was with a whole armful of books. He said, "Dad, can I read you a book? I want to go downstairs and play video games." The answer was, "Not now." And he was so disappointed. But we're like that. When the Lord gives us that answer to our prayers, not now, we're like that little boy. We're so disappointed because we think we know what we stand in need of. We think we know what is best for us. But what we understand is that the Lord knows all.
Amen.
He knows more and can do more. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can think or even imagine.
Yes.
Not just more, but exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask. But it is the power in His name. It is the power of the Lord Jesus Christ that will heal us, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ that will bless us here while we're walking on this earth. And it is the power of the Lord Jesus Christ that will carry us away. You know, Brother Robert was talking about if Jesus walked through that door. Well, if He walked through that door, it's not Jesus. Because we're going to be called up to meet Him in the air. You know, I don't want Jesus to come down here on this old low ground ascending star. I want to be up there with Him. You know, like that hymn says, "Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face." One day we will see Him for what He is. But for now, we have His name. And we can call upon that name. And we can lay all our troubles and we can lay all our petitions, even our wants, at the foot of the cross. We're told to approach the throne of grace boldly. Boldly. We're told to approach the throne of mercy boldly, not timidly, not meekly. And lay all of our troubles, all of our cares, all of our desires, all of our fears at that throne of mercy at the foot of the cross. And we have the promise that He will never leave us.
Amen.
And never forsake us. Amen. God bless you.
What are we singing?